Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth. Drama.
Now, I did not like that. Already starting off with technical difficulties beyond my control. But it don't matter. Maybe they just hating because a certain person won tonight. That's a Blog Talk hate. Anyway, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I'm joined by my main man, my homie, my brother from another mother, Peter Spaceman in the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am in the building.
And so,
I'm going hard for 88.
That's right. And if you want to go hard with us, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number, 646-929-2037. I, of course, encourage you to go to my Smooth Drama site. You can Facebook, Twitter with me. I get my tweet on every now and again. Everything is Smooth Drama. You looking for me on the network, just look up Smooth Drama. I'm there. And speaking of being there, I guess you know, we got a president. Obama won.
Yeah, he winning, doing his thing, repeating like champions do.
Well, and we gonna get into the details on that a little bit later, because there's a whole lot we got to talk about. In the meantime, before we get into that, man, what's been going on with you?
Man, I'm out here in the Hue, you know, getting some things done. I got some real big projects on the horizon with a minor league baseball team, independent minor league baseball team. We're gonna be doing a bunch of things with them, working with Pops and his law firm and getting that right, and you know, pushing the big HISD to go ahead and finish this album so they can come out and change the game in this music world. And, you know, and being a daddy, taking care of the babies.
Uh-oh. Not taking care of the babies. Well, speaking of the babies,
I love the kids.
Yeah, I love the kids, too. I just found out that mine is getting married. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I feel old as hell.
Congratulations. Good marriage, baby. Good marriage. Marriage is good.
Yeah, big shout out to my son Clay Creation out there doing his thing, making it happen. Get married and go on tour.
That's what's up. Family is everything. Love my wife. Shout out to my wife.
No, we just gonna do all that now.
Hey, I'm day. Yeah, hey. Hey, that's the problem with us right now. We crazy. No more craziness.
Well, I know you were talking about you went to Southern's homecoming. Talk about
I was over at Southern's homecoming. Got a chance to watch HISD perform on the stage. They blessed the stage over there and ripped it for you know. But me and one of my fraternity brothers, we got a little, we call it the Black Leagues over there, and I mean that graciously, not facetiously, you know. However, you know, we got to change some things over there, you know, behavior wise, in my opinion, you know. But other than that, it was a good time. You know, they ripped the stage up for sure.
All right. Well, I've personally seen them rip the stage, so that's not new or shocking to me, because that's what they do.
Yes, sir.
Now, also, I mean, you talking about you down in Southern's homecoming. I mean, homecoming is cool, but see, unless you go into the Bayou Classic, you ain't making it happen. See, the Bayou Classic is where it's at. See, I don't know. A lot of people don't understand. I mean, there's football games, and then there's what we do back home in New Orleans, Louisiana, where the band plays that soul music, you know, that music that touch you.
Yeah, I will say that. I've been back there, you know, and, yeah, it goes hard. The Bayou Classic goes hard. The bands go hard. That's what it is, what it's about. It's, you know, it's one giant party. Well, New Orleans ain't number one big party anyway, especially when it comes to sports event. I mean, I remember me and Scotty Spedden went to watch one of his guys play, Big Josh Grant, that he played with in college. And, man, you know, before the game, it was like a festival.
Right.
It's a basketball game. And outside, before you walked in, it looked like a big multicultural festival.
Well, I mean, but see, that's the kind of event that I'm used to. See, the event that hypes up the event. There's something to be said for when you're doing something and then you hear that music and in the atmosphere, everything jives together. That's the way it's supposed to be. See,
yeah.
People talk about going hard in the paint and going hard, but you see, what people call going hard in the paint is what's normal down there.
Right.
I mean, like the whole Mardi Gras thing. See, people take Mardi Gras for the, you know, the parades, whatnot, and they always talk about the tourists, you know, women pulling off their shirts, showing their titties, whatnot. But that's not what Mardi Gras is. I mean, for us, we talking about it's a party festival and the music and the atmosphere.
Right.
It's second to none.
Right. Well, I agree. That's what it was. That's, you know, the other stuff came, the shenanigans is, you know, people missed the point. You know, the point was that the cultural, the background of the music and you know, and where it came from and why it's even here on Earth, you know, in that realm and what it made people feel like and how it brought people together, camaraderie ship, you know. And people, they missed that whole point, you know.
Right. Well, you know, when you talk about the shenanigans, I know we talk about change and everybody was like, oh, yeah, when it first happened, Obama president and everybody was changed. You seen the T-shirts, whatnot. But, yeah. People keep waiting on change like one person is going to make the change. It's like, no, everybody makes the change, not one person.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree with you. I mean, even to add to that, is he doing exactly what he said he was doing, what he was going to do. He said, I'm going to change things. We're going to shake this thing up. And people, see, the funny thing is people don't like the fact that he really actually did what he said he was going to do. He started shaking things up and saying, you know what, no, y'all going to pay some taxes, y'all rich folks, and then, you know, and then you're going to do this. And he included himself in that.
Well,
why shouldn't we? Ain't that what a team does? If you got a guy that does something better on the team,
that's my thing, though.
You help.
I'm not talking about Obama.
Right.
Obama's not the issue.
Yeah.
The issue is the people that's doing the shenanigans. See, we talking about having a good time and doing stuff and raising the level. But it's always a couple people who got nothing. They mindset is nothing. And they mess up a good jam. They mess up a good time always because they just come out their house and like, yeah, I'm going to mess something up today.
Yeah, I feel like stepping a few feet, feel I redeemed myself.
Yeah. And those are the people that are the issue.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
That's the turning point. That's how we're going to take it to the next level. That's how we're going to affect change. When people stop trying to mess everything up just
right.
Because they don't have... It's the age old, people don't want to work for what they receive. They just think that I'm entitled to it.
Well, I mean, I think it's that, and I also think it's people get away from, I mean, here we are in America. It's a melting pot, and we have, you know, several of the greatest sports in the world, and I use sports because you and I come from that background, and it's about camaraderie. And if you can run the America and we support each other like, you know, people do in these small pockets on these different sports teams that go win championships collectively,
yeah,
it'll change. The world changes with unity. And, I mean, and, you know, here we are. We try to do it with you know, culturally and create this change. You know, we got to do it as Americans. You know,
wow.
We got to come together as Americans to help, you know, poverty and you know, these senseless deaths and murders over nothing. I mean, crap. We got more people dying in Chicago, you know, than some areas that's labeled red zones and, you know, overseas over there. I mean, are you kidding me?
No, I mean, but that's the whole thing. See, what the problem is when we talk about playing on the team, everybody wants their team to win. And if their team can't win, there's no good sportsmanship. See, it's sort of like, you know, I got my celebratory New Orleans hat on. You can't see it. You know, you'd have to be one of the people who are on livestream.com /sdrama or go to the Smooth Drama site and just click on watch me live so you can see my face that's made for radio. see, people want their team to win. I mean, because I know we're on the same team. I want our team to win, but I'm not trying to win and stomp out your hope.
Right.
And right. That's the issue. People want to win, but they want to stomp out everyone else's hope. They don't want you to win at all. It's like Talladega Nights. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and remember, he's like, can I win sometimes? He's like, but if you win, I'm not going to win.
Exactly.
And that's where we at. I mean, it's like, yeah, I got to win all the time. Because if you win, then that means I'm not winning.
Yeah.
And we stuck on that. We've been stuck on that for a long, long time.
Right.
You know, this country was built on being stuck on that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, he's a winner and a loser, and you know, but then there's a, you know, my thing is I'm just looking at the fact that you know we're America, and it's a big old world out there, and most people haven't even seen any of it. They only know the area. You know, and where they was raised and where they grew up, and you are what you was, you know, raised behind. And, you know, and the greatest thing we have in America is the fact that I can look at somebody and on the other side of that, they're different, whether it be from state to state, whether it be from, you know, cultures or whatever, you know. So, you know, there has to be some kind of, you know, continuity in what we're trying to do as
Man, get out of here with that. You talking about winning. I need to win. If you win, I ain't winning.
True enough. I'm not saying that it ain't about winning, but you got to remember, there's still an end result. Like, once you win, you still got to go play against the other world. There's other people. It's China. It's other people out there competing against us. So once we, you know, you're in office,
yeah,
you know, there has to be, you know, I mean, it's a bigger game than just the season.
Well,
you know, it ain't about just winning the season or the election. It's about winning, you know, getting things done and creating some kind of uniformity across the world. And then people are looking for us to do that.
Mm.
You know, they're looking for America to do that because of why? Because we have the most diverse culture.
Yeah.
You know, if we was the same, then, you know, they wouldn't look for us to do that. Through history, that's how it's been.
I'm going to disagree with you and say that most people are thinking like this song I'm about to play, that, oh, my God, Obama won. It's Welcome to the Terror Dome. And on that note, without further ado, and so you know, these are requested by my main man, Peter Spaceman. He's feeling rather militant. He's feeling froggy tonight. So, just for you, man, this is P.E. Welcome to the Terror Dome.
Never question what I am, God knows.
By my special co-host for tonight, Peter Spaceman. That was Public Enemy. Welcome to the Terror Dome. We know Bob After Country is feeling like that right now. Like, no, 4 more years. Now, the funny thing for me is this. And here's what I always talk about. I say, now, remember the first 4 years, all in people that was dissing Obama? You know, yep. Curious George, the hanging Obama dolls at the gas stations, all that. Everybody dissing? I say, now is the time. And historically, if we look at presidential candidates, when they go into their second term, enemies start dying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember the Iran-Contra? All them people that was quote-unquote testified? Stomach viruses and heart attacks and plane crashes. I'm curious to see all these people, what happens. We start having these stomach cancers and all this these other mysterious ailments that start happening to these people who was dissing Obama in the first term. Because second term is when the axe starts coming down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, it's happened every time. Second term is when you start dying. Remember Clinton? All the Whitewater people?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just disappeared off set. Oh, they went to Europe and never came back. Wink, wink.
Great, what?
I'm just saying. I mean, because it's now, because you know he got a list. You know he got a list. He wrote it down because he read the autobiography of Malcolm X where old boy told him, hey, don't write nothing down. Put it in your head. He got a good list in his head.
The Art of War.
Mm-hmm. Now,
Benjamin Banneker did that too. I think he had a few things in his head.
Right. I mean, and it's one of those things where I think you're not a great thinker if you have to write everything down. I mean, I write some stuff down, but it's more vivid in my head.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, writing down is for organization, you know.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, I mean, I learned from, you know, from the communication. I mean, I had to do that with the X's and O's in football. It wasn't a whole lot of writing down going on. You had to know it or you didn't know it, you know. And that's just what it is.
Well, you know what's funny is here we are 4 years later, and my last tape show before my first live one, we talked about Obama.
Yeah.
We talked about, couldn't believe that there's a black president. And what we going to do? What's new going forward? I mean, the Senate is Democratic. So now we should see stuff, bills being passed, stuff that can help people being passed, because there's no excuse now.
Yeah, really. Yeah, there's no excuse. And I mean, the bottom line is, though, I mean, you can't ask, you know, someone to come into a place. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 40 years, over 40 years of shenanigans, of you know, straight elitist thinking, you know, outside of Kennedy. I mean, it was elitist thinking, you know, and maybe, you know, Clinton, you know, I mean, the first, you know, 20 years or so, 40, you know, 20, 25 years, it was elitist thinking. It had nothing to do with you or me or, you know, this America was not built upon fairness. And we know that. It's just the reality. You can't go from slavery to saying, okay, we'll treat everybody fair. You know, I mean, you got to take it takes generations and you know, and kids changing and them becoming friends in order for that to change.
Well, it's funny you said 40 years, because that's about 40 years ago. It was around the time when the gap, the separation between the elite, which we would just call the super rich, the billionaires, the gap between the billionaires and the thousandaires start widening very, very largely.
Right.
So we went from, you know, $1 million was a lot of money to now $1 million is worth nothing. I mean, it's $1 million, but it's not like you can live off $1 million and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's quite a few people in the world would love to have the chance too. But yeah, you can't, you know, and that's all learning. This, I mean, I guess having that kind of, you know, funding in your life, it's about, you know, learning how to deal with it and process it and, you know, and not go make it rain.
So you mean tell me I get $1 million? We not gonna go make it rain?
Nah, we not gonna go. You know, throw it up in the and make it rain. You know, and just for free. Here go $50,000. I'm just gonna go make it rain.
No, that what was that? Pac-Man Jones. He made it rain, and when the girls tried to get it, he started beating them up.
Yeah, cause he thought about it. Like, oh, wait a minute.
Hold on.
My fault. Acting trick. My bad.
Give me that.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the perspectives are going to need to change, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, we really going to have to, I don't know. I mean, me and my wife have this conversation all the time, you know, and the conversation is based upon, you know, I mean, when you are in that situation, what do you do? I mean, how do you help? You know, how do you help? I mean, I'm on this help thing because that's what people, all these people, and, you know, you look at all these politics and what's going on. Most people really don't have no clue on what's really popping overseas and what it takes to defend America and or, you know, build peace treaties and all that. They have no idea, you know what I'm saying? Because we getting up every day, we go to work. If you got a job, you go to work, come home, and you're in your routine. And the only time we really pay attention to what's really popping in the world is when these two guys are running for president and they're talking about it on every channel for 3-4 weeks, you know, and then people kind of pay attention and have to pay attention. But once you get in the gut of your life and there's no more campaigning, you know, then what is going on?
Well,
then what are you doing personally to help America?
That's my issue. See, I see these pictures. I mean, I was watching the news, and you see these crowds of people who come together, and they're like, yeah. They come together to celebrate the election, but they can't come together to do something, to make something happen that betters us as a people.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's the stuff that kills me every time I see these, you know, and it's the whole crowd of folks that are out there. Yeah! Obama 2012! Woo! You know, everybody's happy. And, I mean, I ain't trying to bite off Boondocks, but I'm like, like Huey. I mean, I see it. I'm like, yeah, I'm happy he won. You know, hopefully there's change. But the only change that I see is that, yeah, there's a black man who's president. The attitudes ain't changed. If anything, some of the attitudes, they just come out straight up basic racist.
Yeah, because most people they don't know the issues. They don't really know the issues. I mean, we sat, we listened to this stuff, and then people don't really know the issues, and I don't think we all can grasp everything about the issues. We know what we have kind of studied, and you know, as you these analysts, and you kind of studying this stuff, and then still, like you mentioned me earlier, still it's a team, and I'm sorry, like you know, you my guy, like you can't do nothing wrong in my eyes. You know what I mean? That's what it is. So I agree with you on that. You know, and so at some point, you know, my thing is you have to vote for the person who is honestly going to make the tough decision. And it ain't going to be, some people might not like it. You know, it's like a coach having to go for it. You know, some people say, hey, kick the field goal. But the bottom line is you're away. You've never been in that situation before. Sometimes you got to go for the win. You just got to go for the win. And that's just what it is.
Well, what's that old saying? Scared money don't make none?
It just, I mean, yeah, exactly.
If you conservative all your life, hey, you will have a dull, mundane life. I mean, if you're not out there trying to take, and now, and let me preface this by saying that when we talk about taking chances, we're not talking about taking foolish, unnecessary chances that will bankrupt you or make you lose your life. What I'm talking about is smart, thought-out chances. Yeah, I mean, and that's where I think people are missing it, because it's like there's gambling, and then there's a well-informed choice. I remember listening to Mark Cuban, and he was talking about how, you know, at one point he had $0 in his bank account, and he was talking about, I take my chances when everybody else has spent their money. He's like, I save up cash for when there's a downturn. So when things are downturn, that's when I buy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
to make a profit. And I'm sitting up there like, yeah. I mean, because the point is, don't spend your cash on foolish, unnecessary things when there's something that you could use that can elevate you to the next level. That's what you save for.
Right. Right.
As you alluded to earlier, we're not going to make it rain with $50,000 when you can invest that $50,000 in maybe that's a franchise that you buy.
Yeah, maybe that's creating some of them jobs. I mean, we literally got guys out there making it rain, and they can create some jobs.
Right.
You know what I mean? They literally are out there making it rain, and they can create some jobs.
Well, the funny thing is, remember, I don't know if you remember the KRS-One, black drug dealer.
Yeah.
Now, I remember he was talking about black drug dealer, you must rise up. I mean, if you're going to do this stuff in the hood, won't you build a school?
Yeah.
Won't you build a hospital?
Because you're saying that the reason why you're doing it is because of your means. That's why you're saying you're doing that. And if that's why you're doing that, then make the ends the change. You know? I mean, the Robin Hood effect is reality for us. The problem is, if you're not changing it so you don't have to continue to do the shenanigans, then what's it doing? I mean, eventually it's going to, I mean, you're tearing it down. You know,
hold on. You being way too nice talking about Robin Hood. Yeah, drug dealers ain't doing no Robin Hood.
Well, what I'm saying is what I'm saying is, if I'm saying, if that's what they're saying, is the whole reason why they're doing it is the means. It's what's going on. So there's no end to it. Was the discipline and the attitude of, you know, amongst, you know, cats out there in the street doing it. You know, because, I mean, you know as well as I know, we knew some dudes with some numbers. I mean, them dudes they could have been anything. You know, doctors, lawyers, you know, whatever, mathematicians. I knew some cats that was brilliant, you know. And the means forced him to their situation. What Karis want to say? Love's going to get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, how do you make change in a place where, you know, people can't eat? Man, it's two things that make you go crazy.
Well, I mean,
and one of them is, you know, food. You know,
yeah,
you can't eat.
Yeah, but there's eating, and then there's I got spenders. I got 30.
Again. I understand where you're coming from as far as the, you know, I mean, the material thing, but the material things are from less having things, and then because you less have things, you tend to be more flamboyant. And, you know, I ain't never understood, you know, driving and having some wheels go around and around and around when you stopped anyway. That was a little strange to me anyway.
Right.
But I guess it's art to somebody. Somebody was creative enough to do it. I don't know. I ain't going to knock nobody hustle, but, right. I will say that, you have the three elements. One is food, shelter, and a way to provide. And if you ain't got those three things, I mean, you know, the human spirit tend to do anything, man, because you're in struggle mode.
No, I agree. It's a mentality, though. You know, you can be bent by the streets, or you can bend the streets to your will. But it's all a fight. If you ain't trying to fight for your sanity, because see, for me. And we're going to get more into this next segment. To me, the fight is mental and it's common sense. But
we gonna let somebody else talk about the fight a little bit better than us. Once again, out of right out the pocket of my man Peter Spaceman, this is Public Enemy. We just going Public Enemy tonight. What the hell? From their album Fear of a Black Panther. Fight the
Whoop on the Heat.
Power.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight. Thank you.
together you got a smooth drummer. Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I'm joined by my main man, P the Spaceman. That was Public Enemy once again, because, you know, we going two for two, hard in the paint. Public Enemy, fight the power.
Yeah, Chuck D was a beast.
Yeah.
Is a beast still.
Underrated as an MC. You know, they always talk about the greatest MCs. And I hear Notorious B.I.G., Tupac, and all that. And I sit up there, and I say to myself, really? Yeah, I mean, I guess if robbing folks, talking about robbing folks is what elevates your mind, I guess. He's the greatest MC who talked about robbing people and killing them.
Chuck was cold-blooded.
Yeah. I mean, just talking about making you think. And see, this is the difference, I say, when we talk about generations and when they talk about who's the greatest MCs, whatnot. See, because for me, there were two Tupacs. There was that Tupac who came out of Oakland and was just hard, crazy. Then there was that Tupac on Death Row that I don't even know who that dude was, and I know that's when he got popular, but I wasn't feeling none of that. I'm not ashamed to say it. And then he came out with the Machiavelli, and I'm like, alright, now he's back to being Tupac again. I look at it like lyrics. I don't want to hear the melody or the what we call the cadence, the hook.
Yeah. I mean, the game used to be you had to make a complete record or album.
A complete album.
And you had to have a story behind the album. And you had to have all the elements to it. And, James Todd was one of the best at doing that. And I think when it became, hey, let's push out a bunch of singles real fast, the game got twisted because you didn't have to make an album. You didn't have to really go in the studio and think.
Well, first and foremost, I don't think people know who James Todd Smith is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to remember, hip hop heads. There's hip hop heads, and then there's everybody else. So Todd Smith, for some of y'all who don't know, the now movie star and TV series star LL Cool J. Yeah, I don't think people give LL the credit he deserved also, because L was a lyricist.
Exactly. Yeah, he was a lyricist that was able to break the barrier, coming hard, battling. He had all the skills. He had all the styles, pinned down. If you want me to make a love song, I can do that. I can give you more. I want you. He can do that. He can battle you now that Jerry Crew's juice is gone. He can just kill you with that.
Yeah. And my love for him is intense because he was like, yeah, I accept all challenges.
Yeah.
And he did music that he loved to do. So
yeah.
For me, when I listen to an LL Cool J album, I'm like, yeah.
I'm trying to see why he ain't in, the conversation like that, I'm lost for words. I mean, I can take Dangerous. Just I'm Dangerous. That song, and I'll put it against any song lyrically. And you're gonna have problems. You're gonna have problems convincing me that the tonation, the wordplay. You're gonna have problems. You're gonna have problems convincing me that a song that he not killing them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love lyricists. There are some songs that I'm like, and for me, as far loving lyricists and hip hop and the ironies in hip hop. See, I may be the only one who thought of this, but you remember that movie Set It Off?
Yeah.
Now, I remember at that particular point in time during Set It Off, Dub C and them had made the West Side Connection album. And I never forget, fuck you and ITY, I'm coast tripping. And he's in that movie.
Yeah.
I always thought that was funny. Because it's like, yeah, he got this album out, and I'm dissing Queen Latifah, and I'm in the movie with her. But she better not say nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. But for you people out there, I'm going to let you know how we got down with LL. I'm just going to give you just a quick, and I don't think people even mention this song enough. When I say I'm Dangerous, here you go. Jack the Ripper, King Hercules, Professor of Death in the Seven Seas, Grim Reaper of Rock, Holder of the Rhyme, eradicating suckers all around the block. I'm the Supreme, the Dream, the Microphone Fiend. My revenge is brutal when you start the scheme. See, you're my adversary. I enjoy the feud. Arubian Roscoe, King of Quaalude. Come on, man. Like that's LL. The dude was freaking 17.
As far as Jack the Ripper goes, I know every word to that song still to this day. It can come on. Well, it won't come on unless I play it, because nobody plays hardcore anymore. But
no,
that's a whole nother subject. I know all. I mean, it's one of the things I know the lyrics to all that. And speaking of knowing the lyrics, I still have to go back to the conversation that we were on earlier. We were talking about people making the change. And, we talking about lyricists. History. People don't pay attention to their history. And what's that old adage? If you don't know your history, you're doomed to
repeat it.
Yes. You're doomed to repeat the mistakes.
Yeah.
And, we were talking about the drug dealers, whatnot, and just real quick, I feel like, look, selling the crack in your community, that don't benefit your community. You winning on the short term. We don't think the long game no more.
Right.
You know, we think in first quarter, we going to get it all in the first quarter. There's three more quarters now.
Well, that's why them boys get mad at Jay-Z. When Jay-Z said, hey, look, man, I ain't doing that no more. I'm not trying to do that. I got a bomb on the text. I'm trying to do something to change the world. I did this, and, I ruined a bunch of lives. I got to do something to give back. I can't get mad at that. Look, I ain't saying that we all are perfect and we all, and all that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, you know where the change is. You know what you got to do, America. You know what we got to do as, culturally, as a, diverse country in order for us to progress and move into the 20th century or whatever. I'm sorry, 2020 or whatever, you know what we got to do. in order for our children, you know, and I got youngins, you know, I, you know, my oldest is 11, you know, for this world to, you know, I want them to see, you know, some peace and some fun and some enjoying life, not a bunch of shenanigans and war. And
you might as well just kiss me now. Supposedly, we got like a month and 20, about a month and a half left.
Yeah, I think they read the Mayans ruins wrong on that.
Yeah, well, no, the Mayans are like, I just look at it like they just couldn't count past 2012. They're like, well, shit, I'm tired of counting. We're going to end it right here.
The funny thing about the whole thing, it's only the Hispanics, they don't talk about that. That's what it is. And it's funny, I've never heard anybody ask anybody from that culture, and you know, they don't talk about it. So it's kind of interesting to me.
Who the hell want to talk about Doodle Day?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it was that, don't you think they'd be running around in a panic? Well, they get up every day, work their ass off.
I look at it like this, like, hey, well, if it is ending, I'm going to make this the best month and a half ever. Watch out. I'm coming to your town to tear some shit up. I mean, it's just like you say, it you say interested. I just think people are, they look for something to make a story as opposed to just dealing with reality of life and making things better. It takes me back, you know, we play Public Enemy here. The realest thing Flavor Flav said, even though he's a woman beater, you can't stop reality from being real. I mean, that is the deepest statement ever. You don't get deeper than you can't stop reality from being real. I mean, the reality is we can be better. But
yeah,
the reality is also nobody wants to put in the work to be better. I mean, we got a lot of folks who preach. Yeah, you know, this is how you going, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to be. But nobody wants to do the hard work. Before we go here, tell everybody if they want to catch up to you, they want to hear some good music, whatnot, from Peace of Mind Entertainment. Tell them where they can catch up to you at.
Man, go ahead over there to theweekend.com. Radio Galaxy just let y'all know they put out a nice EP for Halloween. Very, very nice. Called Dark. Check that out. You know, go to Radio Galaxy, the Bandcamp. You know, if you go to weekend.com, peaceofmind.com, you know, you're going to hear some of the greatest music coming out in you know, 2012, 2013. Check it out. The Heats, you know, stay live, people.
All right. And on that note, for Peter Spaceman, I missed the F the N word. It was another smooth drama session. You know how we do. We go hard in the paint. Peace.
God bless America. Go Obama. Roll Tide.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got smooth drama.